so glad that we are having a potluck today. It's not that, you know, a potluck is absolutely my favorite meal, but there are some of my favorite foods that will show up on that meal, I bet. But the reason that I'm glad that we are having a potluck today is because of something that Matt Rakini reminds me of periodically. What is it, Matt?
Your first sermon here as a reverend was titled, "It's All About the Food."
That's right. And you know what? It's still true. It's all about the food. In fact, as I was thinking back on the 7.5 years that I have been here, it dawned on me the very first thing that Lou and I did as a part of this congregation was help to serve the 4th of July food stand. It is all about the food. But, you know, what could we expect from a congregation that has 3 professional chefs, 1 professional baker, a catering manager, and at least 4 award-winning pie bakers? Of course it's all about the food. And if you were listening carefully when Jan read our first scripture reading this morning, you will see that is not just about this congregation. In fact, as I reflect back on all the places that I've been in the world, whether it was when we went on the mission trip to Springfield, Missouri, and had to stop for tea time with this dear lady whose yard we were cleaning because, of course, she had to feed the group, or whether it was when I was in tiny, remote little La Plata, Honduras, where they actually took cooking lessons so that they could cook for us in a way that we wouldn't get sick. Or when we read the scripture, that wonderful scripture about the road to Emmaus, what does Jesus do? He stays and he breaks bread with them. You know, my friends, it really is all about the food. But it's not just when we look at what it is to be church, it's not just about the food that fills our stomachs and the hospitality that comes from it. When we talk about it's all about food, we're talking about all of the different kinds of human hungers. The hunger to be loved, the hunger for security, the hunger to be connected to God. And when we begin to look at that and ask ourselves, you know, what is the mission of the church? What does it mean to be a community of faith? It's, what is it to be that wonderful, luscious, by the way, it's mint chocolate candy bar? You know, it's all about recognizing that gift in our midst of the spiritual food that Jesus Christ gives us, that empowers us to go out and to fill the emptiness of other people. It's the spiritual food that has the power to mend our hearts and to grow them and to open them to the Spirit of God. It's about the spiritual food that energizes us to reach greater heights in ministry. It's about that spiritual food that connects us intimately and intentionally to the God of Jesus Christ who gives us life. In that wonderful story of the road to Emmaus, we have the model of what it is to be church. And when we as a Christian community are living our lives together, like those disciples who are walking down the road of life, sharing their lives together, sharing together all that has happened, because this happens the morning, this is Easter morning, so there's a lot that's happened in their lives. They're going down the road together. And in the midst of that together, when they break bread, when they share their hearts together, what happens is the presence of God is suddenly made known to them. all of a sudden they realize it isn't just the two of them walking down the road by themselves, carrying the load and the burden of everything that's happened. Suddenly they realize there's a third presence in their midst. And that is the living, breathing presence of Jesus Christ that makes all the difference. You know, that's what we have been doing for the last 7.5 years. We've been traveling down the road of life together, not just with the events that have happened, but sharing life and sharing faith and breaking, symbolically, breaking bread together in a way that has brought Christ to life. The Apostle Paul knew that experience of the kind of joy that comes from discovering the presence of Christ in your life. The Apostle Paul has an interesting life story himself. And the fact that he comes out of it understanding this gift of joy that the disciples on the road to Emmaus experienced is quite extraordinary. In his faith life, Paul is struck blind, beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked on an island for 3 months, and more than one occasion, run out of town on a rail. That is, if they'd had rails, run out of town. You know, here's a guy who has every reason in the world to say, this Jesus is only trouble. But toward the end of his ministry, when he is in prison in Rome, awaiting his death sentence, he writes this letter to his favorite church. Now, it says that it's the church at Philippi. It might be a typo. It might really be the church of Ralston. I'm not quite sure. But he writes this letter, and through the whole thing, it is just totally immersed with two things. One, with the message that Paul wants to send this congregation about how much he loves them. And two, because he loves them, he wants to give them the gift of joy. I want to read to you what it is that Paul says to the Ralstonians. Oh, paying attention, this is good. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's a guy waiting for his death sentence, and he writes to his church, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. He's either gone stark raving mad, or he has discovered something of ultimate importance. Well, my friends, it is indeed that of ultimate importance. Paul has rejoicing because he has discovered that whether or not he is shipwrecked on an island for 3 months, or in prison in Rome waiting out his last days. There is nothing that can keep the presence of Christ from being with him. There is nothing that can prevent him from living in the joy and the peace and the love and, yes, even the hope of Jesus Christ. And when he discovers that even prison bars cannot separate him from the power of Christ and his presence and the ability to break bread with him and all the life that flows out of that bread, Paul becomes a free man. There is absolutely nothing that they can do to him to take his life away. That's what he wants the people of Philippi to know. Joy, not the feel-good kind of joy, not the kind of joy that depends that you're going to have a good day or that you just won the lottery or that you got your locker open on the first try. You know, it's not that. That's happiness. And happiness depends on happy happenings. No, he's talking about joy. That gift of assurance, of certainty that comes when we walk the road together with one another and walk the road together with Christ. That knows that even in that long stretch of cloudy days like we've had this last week, the peace and the certainty of Jesus Christ cannot be blotted out within us. So he tells them, rejoice. And that joy will not only change who you are inside, but it will motivate you and energize you to ministries beyond belief. Now, Marian Iverson, you may not know this. She's an incredible theologian. She sometimes doesn't know this, but you really are, Marian. Shortly after you came here, you made a very deep theological insight about this congregation. I've got her nervous. The great deep theological insight, she said, was, you know what? People in this church really like each other. Do you remember that?
I feel like it's still true. Now you like me too, and I really do like you.
You know why I say that's a deep theological insight? Because I believe that what you were picking up on was joy. The joy that you see in people's faces when they walk in the door on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights and they have smiles on their faces and they're eager to find people to talk to and to be present with. It's the chatter that makes us have to close the sanctuary doors before the 11 o'clock service because everybody's just, you know, all together. And it's wonderful. It's the joy that people pick up on. Why, when they go through the Angel Food Ministries line and all of the volunteers from this church have smiles on their faces and they come back and they tell me, this is the best thing I do for myself every month, is to share joy, to share that love of God openly and freely. You know, I have to tell you, not every church is like this. I'm going to have to, in my job as a district superintendent, I'm going to find churches that just naturally effuse joy, and then I'm going to find a few others. Lou, what was that quote you gave me last night? Speak the truth even when your voice is trembling? Yeah. And the truth that needs to be spoken is the power of the love of God. When you can free yourselves to break bread without fear that something's going to be asked of you that you don't want to do, or fear that you're going to have to talk to somebody that you don't want to like, that you don't like, or fear about what tomorrow is going to bring. When you can free yourselves into that spiritual presence of joy, then the power of Jesus Christ is truly unleashed in you and unleashed in the world through you. That, my friends, is what it is to be church. That's what it is to walk the road to Emmaus together. Well, you know, in the last 7.5 years, we've come a long way. We have the church turned 50. I turned 50. Who knew? We retired one debt. We took on another debt. We've had some firsts together, like when Todd Jasmine proposed to Susie during the announcements one Sunday. It wouldn't have happened if this wasn't a congregation that was free to rejoice. You know, we have welcomed new friends and been blessed by their presence and their spiritual gifts and their relationship with Christ. And doggone it, we've had to say goodbye to some pretty dear friends way too soon. But we do it all in rejoicing, because through it all, the power of Jesus Christ that redeems, that sets free, that makes us whole, and that even makes us eager to look down the road and wonder where he will lead us next, is the power of Jesus Christ in our midst. So, my Emmaus people, let us continue to walk the road together. Continue to find that Spirit of Christ breaking open in our midst when we least expect it. And whatever you do, claim the joy. Let us pray together. Oh, holy God, how blessed we are to be your people, to share faith with one another, to be nurtured in laughter and in love, to know the strong embrace of those with whom we share our heart and faith. We thank you for your presence on the journey. And we pray that you will continue to open our eyes in new ways, that we might continue to be the body of Christ, walking the road of Emmaus together, to discover joy, to discover resurrection, and to be a blessing in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.